Chapter 32. Sean took very little with him. His bedroll, a rifle, and a spare horse. Twice in the darkness he lost the path to Embijeni's kraal, but each time his horse found it again. Embijeni had built his big grass beehive hut well away from the quarters of the other servants, for he was Zulu of royal blood. When at last Sean came to it, there were a few minutes of sleepy stirring and muttering within, before Embijeni, with a blanket draped around his shoulders and an old paraffin lamp in his hand, came out to Sean's shouts. "What is it, Nkosi?" "I'm going, Embijeni." "Where to?" "Wherever the road leads." "Will you follow?" "I will get my spears," said Embijeni. Old Man Pye was still in his office behind the bank when they reached Ladyburg. He was counting the sovereigns and stacking them in neat golden piles, and his hands were as gentle on them as a man's hands on the body of the woman he loves. But he reached quickly for the open drawer at his side as Sean shouldered the door open. "You don't need that," said Sean, and Pye lifted his hand guiltily off the pistol. "Good gracious, I didn't recognize you, my boy. How much have I got credited to my account?" Sean cut through the pleasantries. "This isn't banking hours, you know. Look here, Mr. Pye, I'm in a hurry. How much have I got?" Pye climbed out of his chair and crossed to the big iron safe. Shielding it with his body, he tumbled the combination and swung open the door. He brought the ledger across to the desk. "Carter, Cloetti, Courtney," he muttered as he turned the pages. "Ah, Ada, Garrick, Sean, here we are. £1,296.88. Of course, there are last month's accounts at the store still unpaid." "Let's call it 1,200, then," said Sean. "I want it now, and while you're counting it, you can give me pen and paper." "Help yourself. They're on the desk." Sean sat at the desk, pushed the piles of gold out of his way, dipped the pen and wrote. When he'd finished, he looked up at old Pye. "Witness that, please." Pye took the paper and read it through. His face went limp with surprise. "You're giving away your half share of the Thunis Kraal, and all the cattle to your brother's firstborn?" he exploded. "That's right. Please witness it." "You must be mad," protested Pye. "That's a fortune you're giving away. Think what you're doing. Think of your future. I had hoped that you and Audrey might..." He stopped himself and went on. "Don't be a fool, man." "Please witness it, Mr. Pye," said Sean. And muttering under his breath, Pye signed quickly. "Thank you." Sean folded the document, slipped it into an envelope and sealed it. He put it away inside his coat. "Where's the money?" he asked. Pye pushed a canvas bag across to him. His expression was one of disgust. He wanted no truck with fools. "Count it," he said. "I'll take your word for it," said Sean, and signed the receipt. Sean rode out past the sale pens and up the escarpment along the road to Peter Marriottsburg. Embijeni trotted at his stirrup, leading the spare horse. They stopped at the top of the escarpment. The wind had blown the clouds open, and the starlight came through. They could see the town below them, with here and there a lighted window. "I should have said goodbye to Ada," Sean thought. He looked down the valley towards the Eunice Corral. He could see no light. He touched the letter in the inside pocket of his coat. I'll post it to Gary from Peter Marriottsburg. And Cosy? Asked Mbijeni. I said, it's a long road. Let's begin. Yes, agreed Mbijeni. Let us begin.